Good afternoon. My name is Jennifer Fisher, registration number 36590. I represent Bovalon and Mr. Nassy. As just sort of a brief recitation of the facts, this is a primarily started out as a lease dispute. Bovalon entered into a lease with Lawrence Levy, LLC, who later assigned that lease to Club Matrix, LLC. I'll be referring to them as Matrix or Club Matrix. The lease was signed in late September of 2003, and the lease primarily was for a health club space of about 11,000 square feet, together with 150 parking spaces. It was a five-year lease, and it had 4 5-year options to renew. The lease was later assigned to Lincoln, which was another entity that was controlled by Mr. Nassy that had to do with the construction loan, and after that was assigned to J&J Properties. The trial court found that Mr. Nassy had fraudulently induced Levy LLC, now Club Matrix, to enter into the lease. Of primary importance in this case is the parking spaces. The lease had provided that 150 parking spaces would be made available to Club Matrix for exclusive use. There is no evidence in the trial, in the court record, that Club Matrix did not receive those 150 exclusive spaces at the time Bovalon or Lincoln Retail owned, were the landlords for that lease. However, once the property was then transferred to J&J Properties, there was a First Amendment of lease entered into, and that provided that Club Matrix would have 75 exclusive parking spaces and 75 non-exclusive parking spaces. My argument will primarily revolve around the damages, assuming arguendo that is a damage. For this change in characterization of having 150 parking spaces to having exclusive use, to having 75 exclusive use parking spaces and 75 non-exclusive use that had to be shared with other tenants, the trial court awarded over $1 million in damages to Club Matrix. The basis of its damages was that a long-term lease is the equivalent of a fee simple interest. So the trial court essentially took the number of an appraiser, which was discounted slightly by what Mr. Nassy's testimony was, and said that the fee simple value of a parking space is approximately $14,000, multiplied that by 75, and said that those were the damages for the fraudulent inducement to enter into lease.
Can I ask you there, Ms. Fisher?
Yes.
The court, based, as I understood it, based its opinion on the fact that the expert or the appraiser said that the fee value is roughly equivalent or a good substitute for the leasehold value. Is that true?
It is. Right. The court essentially said that the testimony of the appraiser, which it found compelling, was that a long-term lease is the equivalent of a fee simple interest. We'd argue 2 points. One, that as a matter of law, it cannot be, that they have a fee simple interest is a bundle of rights for an owner, and a lease interest is simply an agreement with an owner to use a real property. Here, the appraiser didn't even assign $1 of value to the owner. It simply said that the long-term lease is the same as a fee simple. Secondly, even if we were to agree that that could be true, the appraiser based his explanation on the fact that this was a long-term lease of 25 years. In fact, it's not a long-term lease of 25 years. It's a 5-year lease with 4 5-year options to renew. In order to exercise those options to renew, the tenant could not be in default at the end of any of those lease terms. And I should back up, actually. When, upon further questioning of the court, the appraiser did say that a long-term lease he would define as 10 years or longer. So even though he thought the lease was a 25-year lease, he said that his analysis would be 10 years or longer. At the time of trial, however, the Club Matrix was only 1.5 years into its lease term. Although the lease had been signed in September 2003, it wasn't until the First Amendment of lease and its agreement with J&J Properties that they set the rent commencement date and the commencement date of the lease. And that was, I believe it was February of 2007. So at the time that
they occupied the space before that.
They did. They occupied the space starting December of 2003. So the lease was signed in September of 2003. They occupied the space in December of 2003, and rent didn't commence until October of 2007. So they had been in the space, you know, nearly 4 years without having to pay any rent for that space.
Ms. Fisher, if the fee simple interest is not the appropriate measure to value the parking spaces, what is?
I think that you have to look at the lease as a whole. And Western Cities says that you have that if there's fraudulent inducement to enter into a real property transaction, that you have to look at the value of what was promised versus minus the value of what was received, and that equation gives you the damages. Here, what was bargained for was 11,000 square feet of health club space plus 150 exclusive parking spaces. And what was received was 11,000 square feet of health club space, 75 exclusive spaces, and 75 non-exclusive spaces. The testimony of Mr. Levy himself at the in the trial court was that if he knew that he was getting that difference in parking spaces, that he would have expected a reduction in rent. And I think that would have been the proper measure of damages in this case.
Is that the only possible measure of damages? I mean, that's, and I recognize there may be issues with what I'm about to say, but in this case, it sounds to me like your friends across the room there are arguing that the expert testified that the value of the leasehold to your client was basic, roughly equivalent to the fee simple value. So I start with that. Here's the number as represented. It's, you know, that's the value. Now, there may be an issue because I don't know what you subtract from that, but why at least doesn't the expert get you to that point?
Because the expert values a fee simple of a parking space. The lease wasn't a lease for parking. The lease was a lease for both health club space and parking. You need to look at the lease as a whole. The primary objective of the lease was for health club space. It wasn't a lease for parking. You know, if we had been talking about just a lease that was for 150 parking spaces, perhaps you have a different result. But here you need to look at the value of everything that was bargained for. That equation is the value of what was promised minus the value of what was received.
But wouldn't the expert say that the value of the lease itself, the premises itself, is the same on both sides of the equation? So I don't have to talk about it. I just need to talk about the parking spaces, which is what he did.
Well, you have the, but you have the testimony of Mr. Levy himself saying that the parking is the rent. The parking is a function of the rent paid. He would have expected to pay less rent had he known he was having to share 75 spaces versus, you know, having those all 150 exclusive use. And back to the sort of the point in the appraiser, like I said, it's sort of a two-prong analysis. One, as a matter of law, I don't think that you can find that a fee simple interest is the same as a leasehold interest. And secondly, Mr. Muir, the expert's approach, is only for a long-term lease, which presupposes, by his own testimony, that the lease is 10 years or longer. We were only 1.5 years into this lease. The trial court makes a finding that is a reasonable inference that they would renew and that they would get to that 10-year threshold. But if you look at the specifics, the court points out, for example, that they believe that he believed that the club had functioned satisfactorily because, for example, it had 1,000 members. But the 1,000 members is without any context. If you look further in the record, that's only half of what that club supports.
Here's my trouble, Ms. Fisher, with your argument. I mean, it sounds to me like you're quibbling about the facts. I mean, this was a bench trial. The court made detailed factual findings, and this argument about, well, I disagree that he'd like to be renewed, that's fine, but there were facts on the records that would seem to me that arguably would support that. And likewise with the expert, this expert testified, you know, that I think that this is a reasonable substitute, the fee simple value. And you're arguing to me, I think, that that's, as a matter of law, was wrong. And it's troubling where the line, I guess what I'm asking you, where's the line between the factual issue and the legal issue? And maybe you can help me with that, because I'm struggling with it. Is it, and I'll ask a more specific question, is it your position that in every case it is wrong as a matter of the law for an appraiser to value a use a fee simple approach as a substitute for the leasehold value? Is it we going that far?
I think you have to. I think that perhaps it would have been different if he discounted even $1. If you look at condemnation cases, for example, the policy is clear there that the leasehold interest plus the owner's interest equates to the whole interest of the property. Here, Mr. Mira said that it's $13,800 for the tenant, and it's $14,800 for the owner, but it doesn't follow that it's $29,000 in total.
Ms. Fisher, if I could ask you a related question. Here, Judge Haglund relied actually on the testimony of Mr. Nassi, who similarly valued the parking spaces, but apparently that his estimate was not based upon a fee simple approach. So why couldn't the trial court rely on that testimony?
Well, I think that, you know, Mr. Nassi doesn't use the words necessarily fee simple approach because he's a lay person. But in saying that they're worth $13,950, I believe is the exact number, that was the value to him. And he was Bovalon was the owner of the property, you know, him being essentially the principal of Bovalon. So that was the value to him. And in Trial Exhibit 15, Mr. Levy's retort is not worth $279,000 to us. That was his responsive email to Mr. Nassi's claim that these parking spaces were worth, you know, the 13,900 times whatever. I believe they were arguing over 35 parking spaces at that point. I'd like to reserve some time for rebuttal, unless there's...
It's fine. You've got 3 minutes and 24 seconds. Mr. Bailey?
May it please the court, my name is James Bailey. I am here on behalf of plaintiffs Clev Matrix and Larry Levy. I believe that the recitation of the facts is generally accurate. There are some things I'd really like to highlight for the court as we progress through this argument on what the defendants are presently saying, and just some things that I don't think are quite what the record is going to establish. Initially, I want to talk about the lease commencement date. This lease was entered into in September of 2003. There's a series of construction delays. This construction site, this construction project, and specifically as it relates to these premises, did not go well. There's a variety of fault which is assigned during the trial court. I'm sure you have an idea of the way that we believe things went. The trial court said it's a bumbling. The tenants ultimately take possession of the premises a year late. That's in December of 2006. And that's important because of one of the arguments that the defendants are making in this case. When Club Matrix took possession, they took it a year late. The lease clearly and unequivocally provides that they're entitled to free rent on a two-for-one basis at the time that they take possession of the premises. So when we have the argument that there's been some form of free rent, that's not true, and that's not what the case is, and it doesn't go forward. I really want to focus next on those particularized spaces themselves. I believe that the defendants have just said that there is no evidence in the record which would establish that Club Matrix didn't get 150 exclusive use parking spaces. I beg to differ. The record itself is replete with references to the absence of parking, to the impact of this parking on them. Mr. Levy testified, and I can imagine with some force, that not a single day went by that parking was not an issue for this business. Simply put, to touch briefly on what Judge Gabriel has said, this is a finding which is supported by the record that we were promised 150 exclusive use parking spaces and they weren't delivered. To focus
on, when you say when it was not an issue, does that mean was not a dispute between the parties or was not a problem for Club Matrix?
When I'm, and I apologize, I'm not remembering my own language, which is always a danger. The I can't find any reference in the record that says Club Matrix received 150. It may have been a dispute. It may have required litigation.
Excuse me. Your statement was that your client testified, Mr. Levy testified, that not a day went by that parking was not an issue. And my question is, does that mean not a day went by that parking was not a disputed matter between me and the landlord? Or does it mean not a day went by in which parking was not a problem for my business?
It's not a day that went by that parking was not a problem for my business.
Okay, thank you.
As we're relating and as we discuss the value of these parking spaces, there is adequate evidence in the record to support the trial court's findings. Mr. Muir testified that the value of those parking spaces is equivalent to the value of the fee. And here I would like to clarify a little bit. He didn't value the fee. He valued the leasehold interest, and he said that the value of the leasehold interest in a long-term lease is roughly the equivalent of the value of the fee.
Let me ask you, Mr. Brown, I'm troubled by that because if I remember his expert report, I think it starts by saying he was asked to value the fee. It's, and if I remember right, it was on cross-examination the first time we hear, oh yeah, and that's a reasonable approximation. Am I misremembering?
That's my recollection of the record as well. But, and it's the equivalency that is the troubling. And the trial court struggled with that itself in its findings, saying there are difficulties addressing a situation where the value of the fee is the equivalent of the value of the long-term interest. But everybody here valued it at the fee. I'm going to call it the fee, but they valued the leasehold interest. Even Mr. Nassy's valuation, and I confess we don't know what the basis of that valuation is. It's in Exhibits 14, it's in Exhibits 15. That's the value that Mr. Nassy put on those spaces, and that's the ultimate value that the trial court used in determining the value of those
spaces. Mr. Bailey, let me ask you some questions on this, because I do have some problems here. The in the report and in his testimony, the expert repeatedly said that he was asked to provide an opinion regarding the fee simple market value for the commercial parking spaces, and that he did not review the leases. He didn't read them. He didn't review them. Was he providing an opinion regarding the generic value, a generic lease, i.e. any lease that is 20 to 25 years for parking spaces should be equated to a fee simple, or was he saying this lease for X years should be equated to a fee simple?
I'm not sure that I can answer that question. I can tell you that the trial court resolves that question by saying that these parking spaces have a value which is the equivalent of the fee simple interest.
Have a value to, okay, let me ask this then, if you can't answer the question about whether it was generic or not. Obviously, the task is to determine Club Matrix, Mr. Levy's damages. In order to determine those damages, this expert is saying these parking spaces, the difference between exclusive use and non-exclusive use was $1 million. Correct?
Correct.
The way he evaluates that is based on the ability to lease those out at $130 a month and for $14,000 a year.
That is my understanding. That's
correct. Did your client have the right under the lease to do that?
I do not recall under the lease. My expectation is that he did not.
How could that have been his damages if your client did not have the ability to lease, to turn this into a parking lot, basically? And the expert is saying if he turned this into a parking lot, he could have made $14,000 a year on each space. how do we measure his damages based on that?
And the way that we approach those, I believe, then we get back to, I think, your first question then, which is a long-term lease and the exclusive use parking spaces for a long-term lease is then the generic equivalent of the fee interest, and they have the same value.
But isn't the concept, Mr. Bailey, here, the reason, and I grant you, I've seen authority that says a long-term lease, we have that you might, maybe the fee simple value would work. But as I remember those authorities, they suggest the concept here is that the long-term lease, like a 99-year lease, which is not unusual in a commercial situation, as you know, is roughly equivalent to fee simple. You have a lot of rights to do a lot of things when you have a 99-year lease. Here, besides the fact, as Ms. Fisher says, it was a 5-year lease with renewable options, let's assume we get past that. Don't we have to look at the actual rights that you have? It seems to me quite a stretch, or as Judge Carparelli just indicated, if in fact your client did not have the right to sublease or to do it or turn it into a parking lot or do what he might have done had he really had a fee simple, how can we apply that analysis in this particular case to measure damages?
Can I re-ask the question?
Yes, please.
Which says this: what happens if we don't apply that analysis? What happens if we disregard the expert opinion? What happens if we say that that expert opinion cannot support the trial court's conclusions? The conclusions can still stand. The trial court's conclusions do not accept our expert's valuation of the property. The trial court accepts Mr. Nassy's valuation.
Let me ask you about that. As I recall it, the court did not allow in those emails as substantive evidence. The court said, I've admitted for the sole purpose of the fact the expert relied on them. And then the court then says, as you're right, in conclusion says, and that confirms this. How could we rely on that? The court itself said it wasn't letting them in substantively and then relied on it substantively. Isn't that a legal error?
I don't believe that it is a legal error, and I apologize because I haven't given it the full thought it may deserve. But the question as a rule, and by the way, that's not something that has been raised in the briefing here. And so if it hasn't been raised, I would assert that it can't be raised for the first time in oral argument. And I apologize, maybe the court has that ability. But I'm going to come back to the discretion here. One is the discretion of the trial court. The trial court has the ability to determine what the appropriate measure of damages is. And if there is any evidence in the record to support that, we should look to that evidence. And I would say here, there is that evidence in the record. Candidly, it sounds like the court may disagree with the trial court's conclusions, that the court may have a different opinion arising from those, from that evidence. But I would say that so long as there is that support, it should be found to be there. I do not, I confess, specifically remember whether or not 14 or 15 have come in. I haven't done the research to see the issue of the substantive reliance or not. But I can say, one, the trial court did not accept the complete value of the fee in valuing these spaces because we know that it discounted from the value of the expert by at least $1 because it goes from that value down to the value that Mr. Nassy himself assigned to those parking spaces.
Mr. Bailey, if I understood you earlier in your comments, you said that the record doesn't clearly reflect the basis for Mr. Nassy's testimony valuing the parking spaces. Is that correct?
I am recalling the trial court's findings on the specific issue. And what I recall that the trial court said when it addresses this issue is that the underlying basis for why Mr. Nassy did it isn't expressed, whether that's the income approach, which was talked about by Mr. Carparelli. The trial court continues from that point to say, however, we assume, it's not that we assume, Mr. Nassy as the owner of the property has an inherent ability to value what his property is, and therefore we give credibility to that valuation.
But that's not the lease value. I mean, I would agree with you as a general matter that an owner can value his or her own property. So if let's presume that's what Mr. Nassy did. I think the value of these spaces to me as the fee owner is X dollars. How does that get to the court's conclusion that that's the value or what it should have been to Club Matrix here?
And I apologize, but it's my recollection, and perhaps I'm wrong, that in making these statements of value, Mr. Nassy is in fact valuing the leasehold interest to Club Matrix. and that as we're going through this, it is not a simply thing when he is saying the value of these spaces to me as the fee owner is X. I recall that exhibits 14 and 15 say something different, which is these, the exclusive use of these parking spaces to you is it has a substantial value. That value is X.
Let's assume it says that, and I'm a little vague myself on what he intended. How does he get to give that opinion?
I would argue that as the owner of the property, you're entitled to give an opinion.
On the value of your own property, but now you're telling me he was valuing Club Major, Mr. Levy's interest. How does he get to do that?
He's valuing the leasehold interest, which is a component of his property.
Okay.
I mean, it's a subset of that, and he, as the owner, has the intrinsic value. The case law in this area, and one of the cases is Plummer, In Re Marriage of Plummer, flows down, and it says that there's two different ways of valuing property. One is from external sources. That's what an expert does. But there's also what's called direct evidence as to value, and that's the value that we place on from an individual owner. And that's what he's got there. He is on those premises. He's on a daily basis leasing it out. He's talking to people about what's going on with the value of that lease. And he has the ability, as he compares the value of his to the value of others, to be able to opine as to what that value is in the marketplace.
Mr. Bailey, the email says, if we sell it to homeowners or rent it to other tenants, it's real money. Rent at $150 a month or sale for $35,000 each times 20 spaces, we get the value. If this is not worth $220,000 to you, it is to us. So my question to you is, when NASI says if we sell it to homeowners or rent it to other tenants, did Club Matrix, under the lease, have the right to sell those parking spaces to homeowners or other tenants or to lease them out to strangers under the lease?
Yes and no. The answer to your question is no. There's going to be a yes answer to that, which is they have the right to assign the use of the parking space to their own clientele.
To their customers.
To their customers.
And did the expert then talk about in valuing these parking spaces what the value to Matrix would have been had they rented the space to customers?
No, I do not believe that's how the expert valued these spaces.
In addition, under the lease, isn't it so that the landlord said you can have the exclusive use of these spaces for customers for the first 2 hours for free, but thereafter the customers will pay $1 an hour for the parking?
I believe that is how the parties defined exclusive use.
If they were paying $1 an hour to the landlord for the parking, how does that give Club Matrix the right to lease them out on a long-term basis to customers? On a monthly basis, because that's what the expert said, a monthly basis.
Well, I apologize. I'm not recalling that's what the expert said. Maybe I'm wrong. I think what the expert says is the value of the fee, and here's how I'm calculating out the value to come up with the value of the fee.
But doesn't that have to connect in with damages somehow? The value, it's one thing to say the value of the fee. It's another thing to say the loss experienced by Matrix can be measured in this way because Matrix had an equivalent to a fee.
Matrix had a property interest, and that the value of that property interest is the equivalent or approximate equivalent to the value of the fee.
Because the fee owner could lease out those parking spaces on a long-term basis, and so could Club Matrix?
Well, no, the fee owner, there are a variety of valuations that all of the parties have. Yes, the landlord has the ability to lease out those parking spaces. I believe that Club Matrix, in the way that we're discussing that issue, does not.
Thank you.
Club Matrix has different rights as it's associated with those parking interests, and the trial court also relied on some of those rights. the right to exclude others from those parking spaces, the right to use it in future negotiations as it may relate to the use of the spaces and with the landlord, and so that there are property rights and interests which they retain. And that's one of the things that the trial court relied on in determining that this was the appropriate measure of damages.
Guess one last thing. Can you tell me how it is that Club Matrix had exclusive use of 75 parking spaces, had use of an additional 75, but not exclusively, and that as a result of having to share those parking spaces, it suffered $1 million in losses?
Yes. The trial court made I'm not going to be able to sit here and point to it, but I will tell you, we're operating under the Western City Broadcasters, which says the value of what you got less the value of what you were promised. I just inverted that around. And when you do that equation, the trial court says, here's what the damages are.
And so as I understand it, then what you're saying is the expert said, if you had exclusive use, you could have rented these out on a monthly basis, but because it was shared use, you could not do that, and therefore you lose the entire value.
No. But yes.
I'm just trying to get back to what you just said, because you said what was promised versus what was received. What was promised, in your view, was you were to have exclusive use, and the expert said exclusive use would amount to $14,000 per space per month, per year. Was it? Yeah, per year. And that what you got was not exclusive, and therefore not exclusive is worth nothing, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And there is evidence in the record that supports that, and I've cited that in the brief. Okay. If there are no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Mr. Shure, as you're coming up, I recall you got about 3 minutes and 24 seconds. Could Bailiff, would you give Ms. Fisher 5 minutes, since we gave Mr. Bailey a lot extra time? Now, having said that, if you can come up. Having said that, Ms. Fisher, you don't need to use the whole time. That's your problem. Yeah. Okay.
I'll pick up where Mr. Bailey left off, talking about Western Cities Broadcasting. It's at 849 P2D 44. The trial court also relied on this case. I'd like to point out there, and it kind of harkens back to the question you asked me, Your Honor, Mr. Gabriel. In this case, Western Cities lost the case because the court states Western Cities did not present evidence of the value of its lease agreement, either as represented or received. And I'd submit that that's the exact scenario we have here. There was no evidence of the lease agreement that was allegedly promised to them, or lease agreement that was allegedly received. The lease agreement involved more than just the parking spaces, as I went down this path before. The lease agreement is a whole that involves not only the health club space, but the parking. Here, what we got instead was just the value of one parking space to the fee simple owner. You know, by default, they say that if you don't have a fee simple interest, it's a zero value, and say that there's nothing to subtract on the other end of the equation. And I think, I don't know how this, actually, let me back up. And one other thing that you had asked me about previously is whether I would argue as a matter of law that a long-term lease can never equate to a fee simple. And I had said yes. I saw in your discussion with Mr. Bailey that, you know, there is authority that these 99-year leases could be equated to fee simple. And I don't mean to sort of go against all of that authority. I don't presume to know more than those courts. But a 10-year lease differs significantly from a 99-year lease. And I think that we talked about the court talked about some of that with Mr. Bailey. There were things that the tenant here could not do, you know, and we haven't talked about this in depth, but it's also worth sort of remembering, and this was discussed in the trial court, that these weren't even fee simple parking spaces. We're in a condominium, so they're limited common elements. They can be assigned to a commercial owner, because these were commercial limited common elements, they can be assigned to the commercial owner for their exclusive use, which here it was J&J property. They assigned them then to Club Matrix. But they couldn't be, you couldn't put an ad in the Denver Post, I'm selling one space, you know, in the Bovalon, and I think it's worth $35,000, by Kiowa, you know, the Colorado Common Interest Ownership Act. The only people who could, those could be assigned to were the commercial owners here, J&J. So they were the only ones who could do anything with those parking spaces. Club Matrix could not. And lastly, Mr. Bailey brings up that there was a discount from the $14,800 number to the $13,950 number, and that that was the trial court's way of assigning some interest or some value to the owner. But that wasn't actually how the findings of fact read. The court just simply chooses to use that as a valuation. It wasn't a starting point of 14,008 with 13,900 to the tenant and the remainder to the owner. It was just the court taking the lesser valuation and the interest of being giving a more conservative award. If the court has any questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Fisher, for your briefs and argument, as well, Mr. Bailey, Mr. Bethke, for your briefs and arguments. The case will stand submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course.